Dr. Jake, and it's an honor for me to spend some time with you. Kind of a unique experience for me as I get to introduce myself to a lot of you that don't know who I am. But before I do that, you can see that there's a jersey still left over here. Our Go Church is, or CCW is wrapping up the series talking about Hall of Faith. And so these jerseys are for you. You might have got a number here last week in your chair, and so there is one jersey left. And conveniently, that's also my name. So if you don't grab that shirt, I will take it for myself. In fact, you can seize the moment, and if you've got it, you can come up right now, even as I'm started, because at the end, it might not be here. So remember, if that's your shirt, come grab it. It's pretty cool. So yeah, I get to introduce myself. Different, because some of you don't know who I am. Some of you know me for quite a while. I grew up in Southern California, and I met Jesus at a movie theater when I was going to church, and I committed my life to him and started to learn what it means to take steps of faith. And I think the first big one for me as I decided to follow him and give him my life was that he wanted me to continue to move forward and closer to him. And for me, that meant going to Bible college. It was in Joplin, Missouri. So to leave California, specifically LAX Airport, to fly into Joplin International Airport, I was wondering, what am I getting myself into? When I did that, met a lot of good people, studied the word, met my wife, gained a lot of weight. I had a good time in Missouri. And so when I was learning a lot about what it meant to be a Christian and how to follow Jesus, I learned that there was going to be more of these steps of faith and things that I was going to be uncomfortable to do. And the next big one ended up being moving here to Florida. My wife, Jamie, one of Jesse's daughters, the most beautiful in my opinion, she wanted to come back here. And so, of course, I followed her this way and got plugged into this church. And I started serving back with the kids and loved my experience there. And I kept taking steps of faith and started serving in youth ministry and did that for a couple of years here. And then I sat in the same seats that you did and was here when Dave Pardue was preaching about Go Church and preaching about church planting. And he asked everyone to spend some time in prayer about it. And I didn't want to, because I knew if I did, I wouldn't like what he'd have to say. And so actually, I was kind of conveniently at home with my daughter. She was not feeling well, but my wife, Jamie, was here. And Dave said, pray about this, take some time to think about it. My wife came home. She said, if we're going to do this, I think this is the time. I think this is when we need to do it. And so my mind was spinning. I couldn't believe that she was saying this and that maybe we really needed to take it seriously. And so we took the step of faith. One thing led to another, and now I'm a pastor at Go Church Spring Hill. And those steps, wow. You never quite know what to expect in your journey in faith, though, and I'm finding that out still. Because I think faith is a phenomenal thing. In fact, maybe the most powerful thing that the human experience will give us is this thing called faith. We do phenomenal things all over the world. I've heard faith described like this, that it would be as a bird feels the warmth of the sun on its wing, and yet we stand on the ground during the dawn and only see the darkness. I've heard faith described as something that without it, everything is impossible, but with it, nothing is impossible. Right? I've heard it said before too that take a stroll through an insane asylum and you'll find out that faith is worth absolutely nothing. I don't know about you, but if you think about faith, everyone at some level believes in something, has faith in something. And a lot of them are a lot more passionate than you are about what they believe in. And so the question I want you to think about is, what makes your faith so special? Again, everyone believes in something, and why is yours that much more important? And I got to be honest, I think this morning, this text and the sermon might be more so for me than for anybody, because I got to tell you, I'm excited for the steps that I've taken and the journey that I'm on, but we're 2 years in, and honestly, we're about the same numbers we were when we left. And don't get me wrong, we've had some people make decisions and get baptized, and we've got new families that have come and taken part, but almost as many families have come, we've had as many families leave. And in fact, come back here to CCW. And so I wonder, like, how is this all supposed to work? And I'm learning that faith, it doesn't go the way I wanted it to. And so really, I mean it. Like, what makes your faith so special? I confess to some of the guys on staff, I have moments of jealousy where I think, you guys, things are going well for you, and so what's special about your faith, and what are we doing wrong, and what's different? What makes faith for you so special? I'm confused a lot of the time about this idea. The text, though, has always been, it will always be, the way that gives me clarity, and I hope it will for you as well. Again, you know you've been walking through the series talking about the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and so I'm honored to kind of jump in here at the end, at the very end, after you guys kind of wrapped it up and give you just a little bit more thoughts from the Word and kind of what God has taught me about this phenomenal thing called faith. And so if you've got your Bible, you can open that up to Hebrews chapter 11. You've probably been there already. If you've got the Bible on your phone, go ahead and turn that on and do it that way. If not, obviously it'll be on the screen right above you, and so you can enjoy it that way. But this is good stuff. Again, this is something that I needed to hear, and so I hope you take this and hear what God might have to say to you. Hebrews chapter 11. And what more shall I say, the author brings. I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and about David and Samuel and the prophets. These are the judges whose faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and conquered foreign enemies, and women received back their dead, raised to life. I got to be honest with you, I wish the chapter just ended right there, that period. I wish that that's what our faith was, that if we have more faith, that we do miraculous things. That's what I want to believe it means to be a Christian, is the more you believe that we've got faith like these guys and these different people and this faith that can do immeasurably more, we get to experience these miracles. But the story, unfortunately, is not over. So go ahead and go to the next slide. This is still Hebrews chapter 11. But there were others. So where it gets uncomfortable. Because I thought faith would make things go the way I wanted it to go. But there are others. And they were tortured. They refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeering and flogging and even chains of imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and living in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, and none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. But there were others. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I thought having faith means that life gets easier. I don't understand how this all makes sense, because there are some that are commended for their faith and they're spared from the sword. And others are commended for their faith and they die by the sword. Some are sawed in two. Some lose all life. And I thought faith meant you experience miracles and do great things for God. But what if your faith means you suffer worse than you can comprehend? Acts chapter 12, there's stories all throughout the scripture of people that had great faith and things didn't go the way that they thought or you and I think that they should. And again, Acts chapter 12, John, the brother of James, he was preaching the gospel, was put in prison, and he was executed. And then a very, very similar situation, a couple of verses later, Peter was preaching the gospel, put in prison, and by faith he was set free. So is it like one of them better than the other? John the Baptist, preaching the good news, ushering in the kingdom of God, was doing what he was supposed to do, and he was put in prison. And he sent a letter, in a sense, to Jesus saying, hey, here's what we're doing. The good news is being preached. Blind are receiving sight, deaf are receiving their hearing, and great things are happening. This is a big deal. Expecting that when you do what you're supposed to do in your faith, that Jesus is going to take away all the problems. And he sends this to Jesus, and Jesus does nothing. A couple days later, John the Baptist is beheaded. So. How does that work? Do some people have like better faith and then they're spared and then others don't? What does this faith mean? Because this is confusing. And I got to be honest, if many different people, me believing many different things about the world and about God and whatever religion they choose, just be very clear about Christianity says that some who have faith will have a difficult life ahead. So what makes your faith so special? I think what we really got to get to, and we're going to do this here in a second, is that we have to realize that our faith is not about us, because we don't get to choose how things go. It is not up to us to decide that, as much as we want to. As much as you want things to go the way you want them to, it doesn't work out that way. In fact, sometimes it goes really, really bad. But there's always more to the story with Jesus. right? And that's good news for us, because some of us, we think our lives end and things don't go the way we want, but when Jesus is a part of your story, there's always more to the story and there's always a better part. And so I'm grateful for the next part of this story. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, the story continues, and I'm so thankful for it because I needed to hear this. And so this is such a powerful part of this message that the author wanted us to hear. With all that's been said, all that's being a part of this, go ahead and jump to the next slide. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scourging its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, considering him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. There's a lot that I needed to hear out of that, and maybe for you as well. I think about this idea that there are those that have gone before us. These jerseys represent some pretty incredible stories, and I hope that you were listening because they were meant for you. These stories really do have an impact on how we live and how we move forward because that great cloud of witnesses. And I got to be honest with you, for me, there's a couple more jerseys I'd put on the stage. If it were up to me, I'd have one for Pastor Jeff, Pastor Joe, and Pastor Dave. Because for me, as I'm trying to wrestle through what it means to have faith and how to follow this God that seems mysterious and the difficulties that I run into and wonder if there's something wrong with me and the way I'm doing things, and I think about their testimony. I think about their witness and what they've done for me. I'm so grateful for Jeff. I feel like before I knew someone could be in my corner, he was in my corner. He's fighting for me when I didn't know there was anything worth fighting for. He believed that I could do more than I gave myself credit for. And I don't know if this is just me, but one of the things I noticed about him is that there was a difference in that he felt like because he didn't go to Bible college, he wasn't like the rest of the ministers on staff and almost less than. And that might have just been me kind of looking into something, but what was really special about Jeff, and I've heard people say this before, that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And Jeff showed me, you don't need to go to Bible college to be a phenomenal pastor. In fact, we do all these things to try and think, if I do this and if I do that, then maybe God will use me, but that's not how it works. Jeff proves and continues to that if you give your life to him, he will make something out of you that you are not ready for. And so I had to hear that message and say, you know what? This church planting thing, this Christianity that I'm trying to do, it is not up to me to do better. And then maybe when I do this and maybe when I do that, then he will respond. That's not how it works. I just respond in faith and he will do all the work. He will make it go the way he wants it to go. And I cannot be more grateful for what I've seen in Jeff, what I've seen in their family, him and Kara. I'll tell you what, man, I think I learned from them that ministry is difficult. You will have crazy people come into your life all the time, and you're going to get your hands dirty, and sometimes it's really tough, but that's what it is. And I'm so grateful for that testimony, because I needed to know that it's not going to be easy, that it's going to be difficult, that people are messy sometimes. And they show me what it's like to persevere and to have patience and faith and pray and watch God move in people's lives that you don't understand how he's going to do it. I'm so thankful for Pastor Joe. I got the honor of working with him when I was a youth pastor, and incredible volunteer, and I'm so grateful for his heart. And what was neat about Joe was that when I would be doing stuff and getting programs running and from the stage or wherever I was at, if I didn't know where Joe was, I could always look to the doors, to the corners. Not because he wanted to leave, but because he wanted to spend his time with the kids that wanted to. And so he was always really intentional about being with the students that were on the edge, that really maybe didn't want to be there, were kind of forced to be there, and he would spend quality time with them. And on purpose, he was fixed on them. I got to be honest, man, other than Jesus, I don't know another person that cares more about lost people than Pastor Joe. In fact, if I'm not sure where Joe's at, I can go find him where there are people that are lost, where there are people that need to know more about God's love. That's where I would find Joe. And it's neat because he shows me that you can lead very much from the doors and not as much from the stage. And I want to lead and I want to be more like him. And so I need that cloud of witness in my life to show me that it's about the people. It's about going and bringing the good news to the lost. And I'm so grateful for his faith, his love for people. The way he does ministry has been so helpful to me. Think about Pastor Dave. And I wish he was still around that I could talk to him, because I have my hard days. And he always had a way to just tell me what I needed to hear. And man, he taught me a lot too, that you can be a pastor, you can be a minister, and not be a people person. You can, it's okay if you want to read a book and go hide for a little bit. It's okay to be extroverted and, or introverted and just want to hang out with the Lord a little bit more. And I'm so grateful for that message. But I'll tell you, I'll never forget. A couple years ago, as a youth pastor, again, I had this great plan for a youth event, and it was this big summer program and this idea, kind of creating this whole thing, and I presented this idea, and I was really excited about it, and one thing led to another, and it just didn't work. Kind of exploded in my face, fell flat, and I remember one Tuesday, I walked into staff meeting to kind of tell them my story, and my head and hang really low. I didn't look up very much past the table, and told my story and told them that the summer trip was off. I don't remember the rest of the meeting. I just remember the end of that. Dave came over and sat right next to me, and I thought, here we go. You know, it's going to get worse, and I'm so sorry for what I did. And I just started confessing and sharing, like, I wish I would have thought about this, or, you know, if this wouldn't have happened, I just kind of, and he just stopped me. I said, Jake, who told you that you failed? And I just kept talking, and well, I mean, you know, no one specifically said anything to me, maybe just a feeling, or, but I was thinking about this and about that, and he stopped me again. Jake, who told you that? And I had to process that I was telling myself that I failed. And I needed to hear that, and I need to hear that again, because I have moments where I think I'm not doing it right, but I know he'd say something like that to me. And I'm so grateful for the cloud of witnesses and how God continues to use these people in our lives and how important it is for us to see the path that God has called us to by the people around us. And I'll tell you, I've never felt this importance any more than I have being a father. I got three kids, one on the way, and I want my kids to go further in Christ than I ever could. I want them to love Jesus more than I can fathom, but I play a role in that testimony. I play a role in that witness for them. And so if I want them to go further, then I better go as far as I can. And if I want them to see Jesus in a way that I couldn't see him, then I've got to go as far as I possibly can. CCW, do not forget the kids that are being raised in this place. And they will be, and they are, the future of this church. And you will have a huge impact on how far they go, how bold they look to the King because of the way you live your life. There are more jerseys that could fit on the stage. There is more power in your testimony, and you have an example, a huge example for the generation to come. And I want to be like some of these jerseys. I want to be like some of your pastors and continue to have faith, even when it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I love how the text continues that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. That is what I needed to hear. And that, unfortunately, is the heartbeat of this message, is that, you know what, in faith, things do not go the way you want them to all the time. I wish that God grew me more through success and joy and things going well. But he tends to grow us more through the trials and the pain and the overwhelming moments of brokenness. And that's where we learn the most. And that's part of this, because this perseverance, this help that we need from him is because we're doing something that requires it. My kids, I thought I was a bad father for a little bit when my kids are learning to walk, where I noticed that, like, they've got a bunch of bruises on their knees, and I'm like, am I tickling them too rough? Like, what is happening? What am I doing something wrong here? And I kind of realized that my kids, as they learn to walk, they would fall on their knees all the time and get those bruises, and so it made a little more sense. And I thought, you know, of course, if I didn't want those bruises, I could leave them in the crib a little bit longer where it's nice and soft. Not a lot of problems would be presented to him, but if I kept him in that crib, my son would never learn to walk. Beware of your comfort. Be very careful how dangerous that will be to the faith that God has called you to. And unfortunately, I got to tell you that because you pursue Jesus, things will not be as comfortable as you want them to be. There are those that will be tortured. There is things that will be difficult about your faith. And the point is, whether you succeed or not, you follow him where he leads you. So hear very loud and clear from me, whether it's from the sword or I'm spared from the sword, I will follow where he leads. And so what is the comfort that you need to be careful of in your life? Because I think it is very dangerous. In fact, that is one of the things that motivated me to take my step of faith to jump into what I'm doing now. And I foolishly thought I'd take the one step and I'm done. But it's more than a step. It's more than a walk. It's running the race. And so every step you take is just to help you learn to take the next one and to learn how to train your breathing so you know how to move. And I think a lot of the times instead of that, we get into this place where we doubt each step and we're not sure about this one, but we kind of did it, and then we stop. We stay in one spot. And we're not really going anywhere with our faith. And I'll tell you, one of the things I've learned from deciding to move forward in this church plant deal is that doing something that required Jesus made me so much closer to him. And so what in your Christian life is so difficult that can only happen with Jesus being there? I had a church planter, a friend of mine, who said, when I do this, I want to do something so audacious, so crazy in this church planting vision that the only way it would work is if Jesus jumps in and partners with me. And I love that. Because I had to wonder, there was a lot of things in my life that required no help from God. Everything was just kind of something that I could do on my own, and I got real comfy. I got really weak, I think. And I wasn't that close to Jesus. And so I had to break some things in my life. I had to challenge myself in ways I was not ready for. And I had to take those steps and continue to follow where he leads me. And that's what's so special about this, is that it is not your faith that's special. It's not my faith that's special. It's the faith that we have in Jesus that's special. A lot of people believe a lot of different things, but you fix your eyes on him. He is the author and the perfecter, the beginning and the finisher of our faith. Every step of faith you take is made better and made beautiful because he designed that step for you to take. Because he's what you fix your eyes on. There are so many things that I would want to do with my life and I could go my own direction, but when I fix my eyes on him and change my course to that direction, things go much better. Not necessarily easier, but things are better. And I go the direction that he calls me to go. And so we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. And there will be a lot of things in your life that require faith, and it's not going to make a whole lot of sense to you, but if you fix your eyes on him and go where he leads you, it will be far better than any course you could have had on your own. I got to tell you, I didn't think that I would be a pastor or a church planter, and I still kind of don't. What I feel is I feel like I was a Christian, and I just kept saying yes. I just was presented with opportunities. And then I comprehended what he has done for me and how could I not respond with what he offers me to do. And he qualified me to do what I'm doing and he's got more for me, but I won't get there until I take those steps. There are so many things God has for you to do, but you've got to be willing to take that step. And I was discouraged some because I wish I could have stood here and told you that you should continue to take more steps of faith and you should plant more churches because it's going to be easy and it's going to work the way you wanted it to, but I can't because it's really hard work and it's difficult and it doesn't always go the way you want it to, and there's some steps in your life that you need to take that might not make things easier for you, but I can tell you this. When I fix my eyes on Jesus, when I take the steps that he calls me to take, every single one of them have all been worth it. Whether rain or shine, right? The sword or not. Man, if he wants me to jump and I fall flat on my face or I soar to new heights, I'll jump anyway. Because we're not promised one or the other. The one that dies by the sword, the one that lives by the sword, the thing that brings them together is they both have their eyes fixed on Jesus. That is the faith that's commended. He is the one that makes your faith special. It is not what you do. It is not what you think you're capable of. It is him that makes all of this worth it. And so you will not waste a moment of your life when you follow where he leads you. You will not regret a decision, as difficult as it may be, as if he's the one you're chasing after. And oh, you will grow so much closer to the king when you require his help to do what he's called you to do. And so you all have decisions in your life, and I don't know what they are. I'm still trying to figure out all my steps, but there are some steps for you. Some of you will have similar steps to me. This church and Go Church want to be church planting churches. And so what does that look like? The good news is for you, I have a feeling CCW is a couple months out, maybe even a year out from talking about that, so you've got some time to prepare, but you need to be praying about that. Because some of you have some steps to take, and it might look similar to some of the steps that I've taken, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of them that won't. And you've got some things that only you know that you're supposed to be a part of. And so for some of you, your step might be that you keep hearing about Jesus and how important he is, and you know that you need to make a decision. And it scares the heck out of you, and that's okay. Or maybe you know someone that's wrestling with Jesus. And you're friends and you've hung out, but you're too nervous to bring up the conversation. And maybe you need to take that step, and it might be uncomfortable. You might get bruises on your knees, but you're going to learn to run when you can share your faith with other people. Don't get too comfy. Don't be too nervous to bring up what matters most. And so for some of you, it's a conversation. For some of you, I'll just be really honest. Go Church is continuing to live on mission and share the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And here's the deal, that we need some more help. Some of you, I think, maybe you need to come hang out with us a little bit. And here's the deal. If you want to be a church planting church and continue to do that, come learn from what we're doing right, from what we're doing wrong, and everything in between. Because for us, we kind of walked out and had a couple books and a good prayer and read the word and kind of hoped it would work. But you guys can kind of learn from what's working for us and learn to navigate some of the problems and go further than we ever could. And so I invite some of you to come hang out with us. Come learn what that looks like. Some of you here, you've been challenged to step up in ministry at CCW. You've been challenged by a couple different people that see something in you and you don't want to give them credit for it. You just want to pretend like there really is anything special and you'd rather back up. And maybe you were like me when I sat in that chair and I don't want to go home and pray about it because I know if I listen, there's something else I need to do. Some of you, that's your step. You've got great opportunity here. And here's the thing. We are all a body of Christ, and the body will be stronger when some of you decide to step up and give your gift of what God made you to do. We work the best when we share our gifts with each other and benefit one another. And so what is that thing that you have been called to do? I think God has incredible things for us, and I can't promise all of them are going to be easier or even better for what you do, but I'll tell you what, when you fix your eyes on him and you take your steps of faith, it will all be worth it. Run that race with perseverance. He is the pioneer and perfecter of all the steps of faith you'll ever take. He is what makes your story beautiful. He takes your brokenness and the ugliness of your story and he brings something new to that and redeems all that you are. You might have a lot of good in your story and think it's a pretty decent one by itself, but when he comes into your story, it is so much more than it would have been. And here's the deal. We don't just do this because it's a good idea. Like, Jesus really did happen. He really did come back from life and proved the resurrection that he is who he says he is. And this is not all for nothing. This is the real kingdom happening. And here's the deal. John the Baptist, I think, figured this out. These men and women that were tortured for their faith, it is not always about your comfort, about your safety, but it is about your significance in the kingdom. And respond to what he's called you to do. Move forward in faith and take that risky step that scares the heck out of you, because I guarantee you it will be worth it. And you will grow closer to Jesus because of it. And so don't brag about your faith. Don't brag about his faith or her faith. What is important about your faith is that it's in Jesus. That is what makes it different. That is why all these people are worth remembering. That is why every other person that follows Jesus is worth talking about, because he does something phenomenal in people when you trust him. And so what is your step? I hope you know what it is. And if you don't, I hope you take some time and pray about it. Talk to some people that can help clarify what that is, because there is more that he has for you to be a part of. And I wouldn't want to miss it, because from my experience, man, whether it's good or bad, it's always been worth the step. I want to pray for you. We'll have one more song, and then let's enjoy this journey together as we continue to make what Jesus said happen and go into all the world and preach the gospel and go make disciples of all nations. So let's pray and let's get to it. Father, I love you so much. You're my favorite. I thank you for giving me opportunities, for taking this broken person and doing a great thing in me. I'm grateful how you continue to grow me, and you deal with my foolishness, how I think I have to redefine what a growing church is and look at it the way you see it. I have to redefine what healthy is and look at healthy the way you see it. I think I need a lot of patience. I think I need a lot more of you, and I need your help more than anything in the whole world. So I pray, God, you would help all of us to fix our eyes on you, to hear you speak to your children and tell us what we need to hear and to respond in faith. I pray, God, that everyone would hear you speak in their life. And as scary as it might be, God, that they would respond to what you've called them to do. Whether it goes well or not, whether we receive the sword or we're spared from it, I will follow you wherever you lead, because you're worth it. And we are given so much more when we give our lives to you. I pray, Father, for powerful faith. I pray that you would bring us closer to your kingdom and to what you have for us. follow every step that you have for us. We would run the race with perseverance, not lose heart, and have faith in you and fix our eyes on you. There's all these distractions in the world and so many things that will tear us down, but help us to always fix our eyes on you. We love you, Father. We thank you. Help us continue this mission together, God. You're my favorite. I thank you for this day, for this beautiful family, and an honor it is to be here with them. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.